It's always a great pleasure whenever there's a chance to talk to an original Blue Jay, and especially one who was in the starting lineup on opening day, who's Canadian, and who played here through the worst of the worst, Dave McKay. Thanks so much, and welcome back to Toronto.
That was the worst of the worst.
You never played on a Blue Jays team that didn't lose 100 games.
Is that right? I didn't. I know it lost 100 games, but I didn't know it was 3 years in a row.
Yeah, that was really something. But it had to be just almost a surreal experience for you. What was it like just starting out from the expansion draft?
It was great. It was great for a lot of us. There was a lot of players on that team just got the opportunity to get to the big leagues and show them what they can do. And it wasn't a team that was too worried about losing, I guess you would say. You want those players that hate to lose. We had a team full of guys that were just happy to be there, and so it took a while before they started developing into a team that belonged there, and now they wanted to win.
But you laid the groundwork. I mean, you were part of that group, right? It's hard to put an expansion team together with the best of the best of the best. So you got to be kind of ragtag, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We had to go through that, and Seattle had to go through the same thing, and that's just the way the ball rolls.
With Dave McKay, the third baseman, on April 7th, 1977, if memory serves, for the Blue Jays, though he could have been at second base. I didn't do my research, but third base, right? Yeah. Now, that day, and we remember the snowplows going through the infield. Tell me about April 7, 77.
Yeah, it was actually the coldest day I've ever played in my life. I know we got in the night before, woke up that morning, and heavy snow, fairly deep. And so you thought you'd got 2 or 3 days to look for a place to live. And we called the ballpark, and they said, no, come on, we're going to play this. Come on in, we're going to play this thing. And sold out, biggest day in Toronto, and we're going to try and play 5 innings. We're going to get the Zamboni, which you use in hockey, to take the snow off the infield, and we're going to go for it. And we did. We ended up playing 9, and we ended up winning. But it certainly wasn't baseball conditions. I mean, you thought there was going to be 2 no-hitters thrown because you couldn't even hardly swing a bat, but all you had to do was make contact, and the ball would just take off that slick turf.
That had to be something, getting to see artificial turf like that, although it was a little more prevalent back then, right? When we got to the end of it, where Toronto and Montreal were the only places that had it, back in the 70s, it was all over the place.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed playing on it. Found out a little later on, it's a little hard on the legs, playing on it every day, but you always have a true hop, and when you normally think you go to the other ballparks that have rough fields, that it would be difficult to field on those fields, but your mechanics were so sound from fielding on AstroTurf all the time that you were good on those fields too. So I enjoyed playing on AstroTurf.
Coming from the Twins organization, where you were farther north than you were in Toronto, as closest to Canada as you could get pretty much at the time, but that was more... You know, there was, I guess, a little bit of tradition there. You had Harmon Killebrew and all that stuff. And to this new place where I'm sure people were saying, what do Canadians know about baseball? Which, I mean, you being a Canadian, that had to hit you weird. But what was that like to kind of bring baseball to Toronto?
Well, I was just real excited, especially being a Canadian. You know, I remember listening to that national anthem being played in the U.S. version and the Canadian version, and end up getting goosebumps. I started getting goosebumps right now thinking about it. But it was real, real special being a Canadian on the Blue Jays team, and I just wish I was a better player that I could give them more to watch.
Well, we enjoyed it, right? We didn't know any better. We're with Dave McKay, original Blue Jay, and did they make a big deal at the time about you being a Canadian? Were you like a special player? Were you sought after all the time because of that?
No, not really. I had some pretty good tools, and I was up with Minnesota the year before, and an injury is why I was sent back down, and then I get injured again when I was down in the minor leagues, and I'm sure there's something there they saw that they liked, and defense was always my game, and I would show signs of being able to hit, and I know a lot of people. Looking back on it from a coach's view, you'd say, if this guy hits, you're going to have a pretty good player. I ran good. I had a good idea of how the game was played. I was I was so hungry to learn how the game was played. I would make mistakes when I was younger, but then I would correct it because, it'd be sometimes the first time I ever experienced, making a mistake like that. And I'm sure word was, hey, this guy, he may make a mistake, but he won't make it a second time. And so with that, I could see how someone was interested in having you in the organization. I came to Toronto, and they wanted me to switch hit right out of spring training. And that was difficult for someone to start at the major level switch hitting. And that's why that year was a little more frustrating than I wished it was, because I was actually hitting left-handed for the first time. And it got a little bit better at the end of the season, and I went to winter ball. Got better, then I went back and had a little bit better year with a year under my belt and a year of winter ball switch hitting. So that's difficult. You ask anybody about switch hitting in the major leagues, then every player would say, you're kidding me, And so I did do that. That's kind of tells you that little athleticism, I guess, and that's what they saw.
A little, yeah, more than a little. I mean, I can't believe that. It's the first I've heard of that. As a guy who now has been a coach in the major leagues for a couple of decades, can you imagine going up to a big league player and saying, all right, you're going to start switch hitting now?
Come to spring training, you're going to compete for a third base job, and by the way, we want you to start switch hitting. And I did, and stayed with it, and it took time. I wished I had started it earlier, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years earlier. I think it would have really been helpful, but I ended up doing that the rest of my year, And I always thought I could hit right-handed, but I never got a chance to really find out.
With Dave McKay, who are the guys who made the biggest impressions on you? I mean, when I think of the early Blue Jays, I think of Bob Baylor, I think of John Mayberry, Dave Lemanchik. But who were the guys as one of the guys on the ground who left impressions with you?
Well, I guess one guy I could really think that did was, well, there's actually two, Ron Fairley right out of the chute, and then Doug Rader. When Doug Rader joined us, there was a veteran guy that was that liked to have fun but no nonsense when he's on the field, and let you know when you're doing the right things, let you know when you're not doing the right things. And he was probably the guy that probably had the most influence on me was Doug Rader.
And he later became a big league manager. I've heard stories about him, absolutely, about like keeping guys in line, making sure things are done the right way, and he was pretty vocal, no?
Pretty vocal, real strong, too. He'd grab you by the neck in a minute. And I actually coached with Doug in Oakland for a while there, too, he was every bit a baseball person.
With Dave McKay, you were here for the beginnings of some of the guys who would go on, right? Lloyd Mosby was drafted second overall in 78. I think you saw him in 79. Dave Steeb started in 79. Alfredo Griffin was Rookie of the Year in 79, all that. Did you see when you left that, yeah, there are some building blocks here?
I definitely did. There are some good players coming. And I think the biggest move, the best move they ever made, was bringing in Pat Gillick and making Pat Gillick the general manager. Things turned at that point. He had a real good idea, talent. I think that was probably the best thing the Blue Jays, best move the Blue Jays made was making Pat Gillick the general manager.
I think there are a lot of people who would agree with you on that. Now, fast forward a few years, you're coaching with Oakland, and if I have my story straight, and this is what happens when you sit down with a guy without doing research and just going from memory, but you were coaching for them in the playoffs when the Blue Jays were playing them, and the A's were here in 89 and here in 92. And here at Rogers Center, where we're talking, with Skydome then, wholly different from the X. But what was the feeling like for you to come back to see that everything had worked out, that this was a playoff team, and obviously you're trying to beat them, and you did once, and they beat you once, but what was that feeling like?
No, I really, I can't really say I thought. I was thinking more about the Toronto Blue Jays than the Oakland A's at the time. I knew they were a good ball club, and I knew you had to play well to beat them. And we had a good enough club. It could go either way, and it did. It went our way the first year, and the second way it went their way. I think the second year, after experiencing 1 year of this, having that under their belt, they were kind of on a mission that year. And I remember the first game. I remember the very first game watching these guys. I think it was the first inning, a ground ball out and a base hit. Devon White and Alomar. And I remember looking at La Russa sitting beside me. I said, these guys came to play this year. And he goes, I'm seeing the same thing. He says, get your guys up. Start getting the guys up. But they showed that they came to play, and they played that way. They played hard throughout the end. And obviously went on to win a world championship. And like I say, they were on a mission.
You were here for two of the most, well, not here, but you were at games where two of the most iconic home runs in Blue Jays games happened. First was game three, I want to say, of the 89 ALCS when Jose Canseco took Mike Flanagan up to the 500 level. And then the Roberto Alomar homer off of Dennis Eckersley. So, again, we're talking one good, one bad for you as an A's coach. But what do you remember about those?
Well, the Alomar one was shocking because as good as a player, as a Hall of Fame player, Dennis Eckersley was just unhittable. In those situations, there's one year where he saved 51 out of 52 games. We had the lead in the ninth. We were going to win that game. And so there it was. We have the lead in the ninth, and we're going to win this game. And, uh-oh, what just happened? Alomar took him deep. And so that's why I say these guys seem to be on a mission that year. I think, believe it or not, they probably wanted Eckersley on the mound. They're not.
And the Canseco one, I mean, we were all floored. No one had hit one up there before.
Yeah, he's just ridiculous. I think he was trying to find himself. He didn't really have a stroke or something like that. Somebody was joking, and he mentioned something about, I'm just going to go take a pitch. And all of a sudden, he decided to swing, and all of a sudden, it ended up almost leaving the whole stadium. But he had ridiculous power. You know, you talk about McGuire's power. McGuire really developed a lot of that power later on. It was all Canseco at the time. And he would hit some balls that, man, I tell you what, every ballpark has a seat where he had hit a ball that landed either in a game or batting practice that it's hard to believe it went that far. And McGuire, at the end, he started doing that same type of thing.
Yeah, they were both just incredible to watch. And Canseco, I could still remember. I mean, he wound up here for a year, too, and hit 46 home runs. But he was the first guy that I ever saw that when he swung the bat, it really just looked like a toothpick in his hands.
It was a heavy bat, too. It's a heavy bat, and he's a strong man. He's really a strong man. I think, believe it or not, this guy is probably one of the most gifted hitters in the game. I mean, he really had an idea what the pitcher was going to try and do with him, and he would make adjustments. And I don't know if he wanted it as much as most guys did. You know, I mean, he would take a day off in a minute, you know, and that would be okay. That's the way it was. It's too bad because I think he could have stayed in great health and shattered all records. He had so much talent.
Last thing for Dave McKay. Really appreciate all this time. But I got to ask you, because this comes up every once in a while, but not a lot. But you were on a Blue Jays team with Danny Ainge, who became a phenomenal NBA player and now is a great executive. Very rare is that great two-sport athlete. Obviously, he wasn't as great at baseball. But what was that like, being with a guy who was a big-shot college basketball player who everybody knew kind of might have had that future?
Well, again, a good, great athlete. I remember when we signed him, he came to Anaheim where we were playing the Angels, and they asked me if I would let him stay in my room with me. And maybe they thought I'd be a good influence on him, I don't know. But I remember I gave him my bats. He used my bats for batting practice and things like that. And next year there was in the major leagues, and pretty sound player. I think if he had baseball in his mind, I think he really wanted to play basketball. I mean, it's pretty obvious. But if he had nothing but baseball on his mind, I think he could have been a pretty good baseball player, too, to maybe even a great baseball player. May not be a second baseman, maybe moved to third base or first base, gotten bigger, hit for more power, but certainly a lot of talent.
Well, and he made the right choice, probably. You made the right choice, definitely, because here you are 36 years after leaving the Blue Jays, back still in a big league dugout, wearing these wonderful Arizona uniforms. Thank you so much for this. It's really great to catch up, and best of luck to you guys when you leave here.
Well, thank you, but I tell you what, it's really disappointing. We spent 4 days in Philadelphia, then we come here for two. I'd rather the two in Philadelphia and four games here. I mean, this is a great city, and I love being here, and it's sad that we have to leave so quick.
It's nice for you to hear O Canada again, though, isn't it?
It's great to hear O Canada again, yes.